All right. Let's go in our Bibles, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 this morning. We're going to kind of tag on to where we left off on Sunday night. And so I'm going to read, beginning in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount is commonly known. And we're going to begin reading this morning in verse number 14. I'd ask you to stand, if you would, please, one more time, out of love and respect for the Bible. I'm just going to read verses 14 through 16 this morning, Matthew chapter 5. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want to preach to you this morning, and we'll probably need two services to get this out. But anyway, verse 16 starts with these three words, let your light so shine. Amen. We need to let it shine. Amen. We need to let it shine. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to settle in on this place, especially, Lord God, on my mind and my heart, Lord. I pray for your perfect focus and attention on what you would have for me to say. I pray, God, there'd be no distractions here, that you'd bind Satan, Lord. He hates, Lord, the preaching of this book. He hates, Lord God, when your people are drawn closer to you, and then your power, Lord God, is exposed. And Lord, I pray that you would work today in spite of Satan, in spite of ourselves, and your spirit would have full control, full liberty here this morning. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Let it shine. The children sing a little song in children's church, you know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, amen, I'm going to let it shine. You know, it's a good thing, it's a good song for them to sing, but it's a very biblical truth. Yeah. It's a very, very important truth that I think many times, I'm going to say this morning, I don't know if I'm going to get through all of this today, but you have to come back tonight, but I promise you, this is a very misunderstood passage of Scripture. It's a very misunderstood passage of Scripture. But I want to talk, last week we talked about verse 13, about the salt and losing its savor. We said that there is a possibility for a Christian to be good for nothing. That's not a place where you want to be as a Christian, good for nothing to God. Amen. Now, not only are you good for nothing to God, but you're trodden underfoot of men, so really, you're good for nothing for nobody. Amen. I don't know if that's a good grammar or not. You're good for nothing to no, anyway, you understand what I mean. You're good for nothing, period. That's the point. But then, we talked about how salt now does not lose its saltiness. It does not lose its chemical makeup. It is always salt. It's always salt. We don't lose our salvation. We don't become unsaved and unsaved and unsaved. Dear God, what a miserable life that would be. I don't know if I'm saved today. I'm not going to get saved again. I'm saved and lost my salvation. I got to get. You ever notice, I think I've said this before, you ever notice how the people who believe that never do that?
Yeah.
The people who believe that you got to get saved over and over again, you never see them getting saved over and over again.
No.
You understand how hypocritical that is? Yeah. That's just a bunch of mess. It's just a bunch of false doctrines, all it is. You don't lose your salvation. Salt does not become something other than salt. It doesn't go back to being something. It's always salt. But it is possible for salt to lose its effect.
Yeah.
Its savor. It's possible for salt to lose the effect that it has on the world around us. We talked about it being watered down. We talked about how it can be too much water and not enough salt. If it's just a little bit of water and an amount of salt in there, then it's going to be very salty water. But if it's just more water and more water and more water and more water and no more salt, sooner or later, you're not even going to taste the salt. It's going to be overpowered, watered down. And then we talked about it being mixed up, blended in with sugar. We talked about it being blended in with sugar. Salt and sugar are very similar. You can see them, and you can't really tell the difference until you taste it. I mean, we talked about, but if you mix the two together, you're going to have sweet salt, right? And I don't know if there's such a thing, but you're going to have a sweet tasting salt. God did not say, I want you to be the sugar of the earth. God did not say, you ought to be the sugar of the earth. We've got a lot of sugar-coated Christianity going on around these things. We've got a lot of sugar-coated Christians, amen, that are more worried about how their hair looks than they are about whether or not they're right with God.
Amen. Come on.
That's sugar-coated Christianity. It's ridiculous. It's fake, it's phony baloney, it's vainglory, it's every bit of flesh that you can possibly get, and that's no good for nothing. Amen? No good for nothing. Listen, the Bible tells us that the reason that a person gets like that, though, is because they were trying to live for God, they were trying to be a witness, they were trying to be right with God, they were trying to honor God with their life, and they got persecuted. Look what it says in verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. That means when they laugh at you, when they outwardly make fun of you, not behind your back, but right in your face. They revile you. They persecute you. They say all manner of evil. Have you ever noticed that people say things about you that you don't even know what they're talking about? They say things about you that are not true at all. It's just their wild imagination, but yet they're still saying it for one reason, to hurt you. And what that does is that makes you quit wanting to be salt. You don't want to be salt anymore. You don't want to be a problem, and you just want to kind of blend in, so you become a sugar-coated Christian instead of being salt like God says. And it's because you get messed over, you get hurt, and you just kind of give in to the pressure of the world. God says, listen, hey, God says you're good for nothing when you do that.
That's right.
I'm good for nothing when I do that. But then he goes straight from Saul. I'm not going to re-preach that message. You should have been here on Sunday night. Amen. God goes straight from that into verse 14. Straight from Saul into light. He says, you are the light of the world. He says that you are the salt of the earth, but you're also the light of the world. This salt and this light, dearly beloved, refer to how we should influence those around us. Influence those around us. Understand, salt is internal. Salt doesn't do anything for you by looking at it, but light is external. Amen. I could see light. I could see salt, but it doesn't do anything until I take it in me. Salt is internal. Light is external. Salt is savored. Amen. Tasted. Light is seen. Salt is tasted. Light is felt. You can feel light. You can feel warmth from light. Salt is just a matter of a flavor. But no matter how you look at it, internally or externally, we have the ability by God's word, we should be affecting people both inwardly and outwardly. We should be affected. We should have an influence on the world around us, both inside and outside. Amen. In them and out outside of their life. They should see us. They should taste us. They should know. Amen. These people are here. These Christians are real. This is different. Amen. They should know something about us by the way they feel in their hearts, by the way they see. That everything should be different. We should influence everything about this world, internally and externally. Now, do you think we are?
Come on,
preach it. I don't think we are.
Preach.
But notice it says also Jesus said, the salt and the light. In other words, you are the savor, and you are the only shining light they're going to see. If we don't savor and we don't shine, nobody will. If we don't savor and we don't shine, nobody's going to. We're the salt and we are the light. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 8, he said, I am the light of the world. So wait a minute, preacher. Here he says we are, and there he says he is. Okay? Well, let's make those two statements agree. The Bible does not contradict itself. Okay? So when we put these two statements together with a little bit of thought and understanding, and we're going to look at some scripture here, we understand then that Jesus is the source of all the light. Okay? And we are the senders of that light. Let me say that again. Jesus is the source, but we are the sending agent. Okay? He's the source. We're descended. Excuse me. Psalm 18. Now, we're going to use our Bibles a little bit this morning. Psalm chapter number 18, verse 28. Psalm 18, verse 28. This is where the light starts. Jesus is the light. Verse 28, Psalm 18. Thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. That's salvation, folks.
Right.
You understand, before Jesus Christ, there's nothing in me but darkness. Before God's grace, before his imputed righteousness, before his justifying my ungodly, undeserving, wretched soul, I'm nothing but darkness. The candle, the Bible talks about the candle, that's just a reference to the soul, my soul inside me. There's no light on an unlit candle.
Right.
An unlit candle is how you are born, dearly beloved. You and me are born in sin, and shapen in iniquity, conceived in sin. Our candle is dark. But when God came along, and by His merciful grace and His love and His everlasting forgiveness, by His grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, the power, amen, of His Word, made us understand I'm darkness. There's nothing in me but an unlit candle. There's nothing in me but darkness, despair, and death. But God Almighty lit my candle the day I got saved. On May 13th, 2004, amen, He gave me light where there was nothing but darkness, amen. That's salvation. That's eternal life. That's the gift of God. That's the grace of God. That's God Almighty lighting me. Now, He's the source of light.
Yeah.
I had no light in me. He had to light my candle first. He had to enlighten my darkness. I couldn't do it on my own. Listen to me, dear beloved. There's no way you could light your own candle by your good works. How foolish is that? You're doing everything you could possibly do trying to make God happy. You're still walking around in darkness. But it had to be God and His power through the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, to enlighten my darkness. And then I became light.
Yeah.
Amen. That's salvation. Look at John chapter 1 now. John chapter 1. Jesus is the source of the light. We're just the sending agent. John chapter 1, verse 6. So it starts at salvation. He's the source. He brings the light to a darkened heart. A candle that has no light, a fire is not lit, is nothing but darkness. It has the. Let me say this. That candle has every potential to be light. Let me say this. Let me add this to you real quick before we go to John. That candle was made to be light.
That's right.
Listen, that candle has no other service, no other point but to be light.
Amen.
But until it's lit by an outside force, you ever seen a candle light itself?
Come on.
Come on. Have you ever seen a candle light itself? If you do, you better take a picture of it. You better keep it or run from it, one or the other. You've never seen a candle light itself. That's exactly what God's telling us in Psalm 18. We cannot light our own candle, but we are created, amen, to be light. We are made for one purpose, to be light. But it's God that has to give us that light. There's so much potential in people, and all they need is God to enlighten their darkness, to give them that fire from heaven, amen, to come down and light up that which is dark, and then they're a candle. And then, listen, what is that candle supposed to do after that?
Yeah.
Amen. Is it supposed to go? Is it supposed to go make money?
Oh.
Is it supposed to go get rich? Is it supposed to go get famous? Hey man, what's a candle for? It's lit to be light. Y'all wake up a minute, amen. I mean, this is not a hard question. The candle is lit because somebody needs light, amen. God lit my candle because He says, now you're the light of the world. Look in John chapter 1, verse 6. John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist we're talking about. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, capital L light. You see that, right? That's Jesus. That all men through Him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, notice, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. What does that mean? Everybody's going to get saved? Absolutely not. But everybody's going to have access to that light. Everybody's going to have access to that flame of fire, God. God's power to be lit, that candle in their heart to be lit. But this, see, in this point, John was already lit. John was lit up pretty bright, amen. The Bible says he was a burning and shining light. And here's what I'm talking about. See, God lit the candle of John the Baptist so that he could bear witness of the light to other people. You see, that's what I'm talking about. Jesus is the source of our light. God Almighty lights the candle in our dark hearts. And then He says, now go shine. Go shine forth. Go shine forth the light that I've given you. That's you and me serving God.
Yeah.
See, salvation is the very beginning, absolutely. But listen, then there's a light to be shown, amen. There's a work to be done. There's people around us that do not have that light.
Right.
There's people all over the world that we come in contact with every day, and their candle is still not lit.
Yeah.
And yet somebody can tell them, hey, I know the fire source, amen. I know the one who can light that candle. I know the one who can get you out of that darkness in your life and bring you into light of the glory of God. I know the one. His name's Jesus. Amen. That's light. God lights our candle not so we can sit on it or put it, and we're going to talk about that later, hide it under a bushel, so many other things that we do with it. But that we are to bear witness, amen, for a witness to bear witness of that light. By burning and shining our own lights, amen. Look in Philippians chapter 2 now. Philippians chapter 2 this morning. Amen. Everybody okay, right?
Amen.
Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. I know it's cold outside. Don't be cold in here. Amen. The heater's on, but I'm talking about internal heat. I'm talking about some spiritual fire. Amen. We just talked about lighting my candle. Amen.
Amen.
The brighter it burns, the warmer you'll get inside. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure.
Yes. Amen.
So God's lit my fire now. He's working in me, not just to get me saved, but to do of His good pleasure. To do something with that light. Look what it says in verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. That still puts out your fire as fast as you can blink. Murmurings and disputings. Now you say, that fire can't go out. I understand that. The fire doesn't go out, and Jesus never says it goes out. It never says in one passage of Scripture that fire goes out. Understand something, though, that we can cover it up and make it where it no more shines.
Yeah.
Just like salt can get overpowered and mixed in with sugar and nobody even tastes it anymore, if light is covered up by my murmurings and my disputings and my grumbling and my griping, amen, I'm not doing any good for God at all. I'm certainly not doing His good pleasure. Look in verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst, notice, of a crooked and perverse nation.
Yeah.
Boy, I don't know about you, but that certainly, in my book, that describes America.
Yeah, come on. That's right.
Crooked and perverse.
Yes, sir.
Our nation has gone from God so far that we no longer even know what straight means.
Come on,
crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine. Who is the ye in that verse? The sons of God. You and me that have our light lit, that have our candle burning now for the Lord God Almighty. We shine as lights in the world. How?
Amen.
Holding forth the word of life. What does that mean? That means I'm holding forth. I'm living it out. I'm letting it shine. And this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Amen. I'm going to let people know, hey, listen, I believe that book. I think that's God's word. I take it seriously. That's every word of God is pure. That book is God's word. Whether you like it or you love it, it's God's word, and I'm going to let everybody know that I believe it. I'm going to hold it forth. Hey, that doesn't mean walk around holding it out. That means you walk around and live by it, and according to it, you obey it, you do what it says, and you let people know, hey, I believe that. That book is our light source. Jesus lit it, but that book is our flame source, if you will. That kind of fans the flames a little bit. That precious book. Holding forth the word of life. Shining as lights. But listen now, don't forget this. This will come up later. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation.
Yeah.
If that means to anybody, then they're not going to like it.
Uh-huh.
They're not going to like it. Now go back to Matthew 5. Go back to Matthew 5. I'm salt and I'm light.
Yeah.
Jesus is the source of my light. He lit my candle. And then He gives me a service to do. And it's to shine forth His word in this world.
Yeah.
Glory to God. That's enough of a message right there that we all need to get on the altar.
Yeah.
I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 5. Again, verse 5, 14, excuse me. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Hidden light, neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel. A hidden light on a candlestick, but giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. Understand, Jesus never says anything about it going out. It can't go out, dearly beloved. You cannot lose the salvation. Again, another proof of eternal security. I want you to understand something. He could have said it right there. Don't let, you know, the kids sing that song. Don't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it. That's not scriptural. Sorry. Satan can't it out. Amen. It's not going to go out. Amen. Nobody can it out. This little light of mine, amen, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan hide it under a bushel. No! Now that's scriptural. I don't know where it out came from. Probably some liberal church, amen, came up with that verse. But with this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, amen, and I'm not going to hide it under a bushel. It cannot go out, amen. But what Jesus does say here, listen now, is that some lights shine brighter than others. I don't think I need to illustrate that. I think, you know, there's little candles, there's big candles. There's a candelabra, amen. You probably had one at your wedding, right? Candelabras with six or seven candles. And listen, there's some lights that shine brighter than others. There's some little puny little flashlights, amen, that have those little bitty old, you know, little bitty bulbs about that big. And they got two little, you know, C batteries in there. And you might as well turn it off and feel your way through the dark because it doesn't do any good. But today, glory to God, they've got LED lights, and they got all these. I mean, I'm telling you what they've got, but it's still light.
Right.
Some light shines brighter than others.
That's right.
Oh, listen to me. Some light, Jesus. Hey, listen. I don't think I need to prove this to you, but our Savior wants our light to shine brighter.
That's right. Come on.
Our light needs to shine brighter.
Yes, sir.
Our light, God is glorified according to verse 16. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Our Father is glorified when our light shines. Therefore, I think it's pretty easy to deduce, the more our light shines, the brighter our light shines, the more glory God gets. Amen. Amen. Now, before we get into the meat of the message, which is probably going to be later tonight, I'm going to quickly this morning define what this light looks like. Okay? What this light looks like when we're letting it shine. In other words, verse 16, look what it says. You let your light so shine before men. Here's what God is describing to us, what that light is. That they may see your what? Good works. Okay? So this light is equated to our good works. All right, now, we know that. Most people know that. They've heard these verses before. But let's stop for a minute here, okay? And remember, who's speaking? If you have an old red letter edition, which I don't, but if you have an old red letter edition, are those words red in your Bible?
Amen.
You know why? Because Jesus is speaking.
Amen.
So it's
right.
Jesus' definition. It's Jesus' opinion and idea of good works.
Yeah.
It's not mine. It's not yours. It's certainly not my heathen neighbors. Not that I have heathen neighbors. Amen. But it's certainly not the world's idea. It's Jesus. So what we're going to do is this morning for a little while, we're going to have to understand that good works defined by the Bible are not necessarily good works defined by the world. If you remember the book of Isaiah more than once, it says that the world calls good evil.
Yeah.
And evil good.
Right.
That's right.
Amen. Listen to me. So the world, the heathen, those who are completely destitute of all of God and apostate from His Bible, and they do not believe a thing this book says. They call themselves atheists. They certainly don't know what good works are according to Jesus' definition.
Really?
I don't think you do either.
Great.
This is where this passage gets completely misunderstood. This is where this passage gets completely lost. You think the good works that I'm supposed to do is to make everybody happy. That's what you think. That's what the world will tell you. They'll say, you know what, those good, well, see, you're supposed to let your light so shine and let's seek your good works. Okay. So if you think good is evil, then what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to do evil works to make you happy so that my light shines and God's glorified. Now that's foolish. That's absolute foolishness. But this is where this passage gets completely turned upside down, twisted, lopsided, crooked, and perverse. Because good works, as defined by the Bible, which we're going to do here in a minute, are not good works.
That's right.
In the world's eyes.
That's right.
Why would we cover up our light? By the way, let me say this to you real quick. It does not say that they glorify you.
Yeah,
that's right.
It doesn't say that they make you boss.
Amen. Come on, preach.
It doesn't say that all of a sudden they put you on the top of their speed dial list. They don't glorify you. As a matter of fact, this is in the same context of being persecuted and reviled and speaking evil against you.
Uh-huh.
See, this is a very misunderstood passage. You think it means I'm supposed to go around making everybody happy. I'm supposed to do what everybody wants me to do so that they glorify God. No, that's you getting glory for yourself.
Amen. Preach. Come on, preach.
Now, I'm just going to preach the Bible to you this morning. But you know what? It doesn't make any a lick of sense to walk around trying to make everybody happy and call that good works and expect them to glorify God. If you're going to make them happy, you're going to do what they want you to do.
That's right.
If you're going to make them happy, you're going to be just like them.
That's right.
That's not light.
That's right. Come on, preach it, brother. Tell them.
It's not light.
Amen.
This is talking about men seeing your good works and glorifying. This is talking about lost men. This is talking about the world, the unsaved population of this world, seeing you do something that's good in God's eyes and glorifying God, whether they like it or not, whether they like you or not, they're seeing you do something that is right by God, and then they say, you know what, wow.
Yeah.
God is real.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
See, you think, well, it means everybody's going to walk up to me and say, oh, good job, Miss Ingrid. I'm so glad that I met you. I'm so proud of you. Oh, will you be my best friend? You know what? What's your phone number? Let's keep in touch.
Great.
Come on, preach.
That's not what it says.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
It says they're going to glorify God. It doesn't even say they're even going to say a word to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it says what they do say is probably going to be false evil spoken against you.
Preach.
Are y'all with me this morning?
Amen. Come on, brother.
So if the world calls evil good and good evil, then I'm probably not going to be doing what the world wants me to do when I do my good works, when I let my light shine.
Amen.
Preacher, that's not what I thought this meant. I know.
Amen.
And that's why we have so many sugar-coated Christians shining nothing but darkness, hiding their light under a bushel so that nobody really sees. And let's just make everybody happy around me so that I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
Remember, in Psalm 18, who was I? What was I filled with before God lit my candle?
Sin and darkness.
Sin and darkness. Yeah. Okay, so if I'm covering up the light that God's given me, who am I going to behave like? Sin and darkness.
Amen.
Everybody else. Now, dear beloved, I know this is not making you feel all warm and fuzzy inside, and you thought maybe he's going to tell me about how we got to go around and love everybody and make everybody love us.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to make it difficult here, but I'm trying to tell you we are being overcome by this idea of doing what everybody else wants us to do, of making us look like and sound like and act like everybody else.
Yeah.
What is the point of that? Why do we need an Amazing Grace Baptist Church? Why do we need to even be here this morning if we're just going to look and act and sound and be like everybody else? We don't need a Bible for that.
Yeah.
We don't need a Bible for that. We don't need Jesus for that.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
We don't need Jesus for that. We can do that on our own. Matter of fact, most people do.
Come on.
That's what the Bible calls the flesh.
Preach.
Quickly. We're going to look at some good things according to the Bible. Now, I want to turn all the way back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It just so happens that the first mention of the word good is also, in the Bible, is also a direct reference to light. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, verse 1, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen? Now the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be what? Light. And there was light.
Amen.
And God saw the light that it was
good.
There it is. The first mention of the word good in the Bible is referencing light. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, What's good then in God's eyes? Number one, listen now. What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to live? How are we supposed to act? What are our good works according to God's standard? Number one, it starts with the Holy Spirit.
Yes, ma'am.
The verse 2 says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God has got to move in your heart before you're ever going to have any good works.
Amen.
Understand something. It starts with, listen, look what was there. The earth was without form and void and darkness.
Yeah.
And listen, you know what that is? Listen, that's confusion.
That's right.
No form, no void, darkness. When I try to walk around in darkness, I get confused. I don't know which way I'm going. I don't know if I'm going to stub my toe, if I'm going to bump my nose. I'm confused. I don't know the way in. I don't know the way out. Listen, without any light at all, you understand, I can't see my hand in front of my face. That's confusion.
That's right.
That's where you were before you got saved.
That's right.
That's where everybody is before they get saved. Their life is a confused disaster, a mess from the word go. As soon as they're born in this world, they're crying and don't even know why they're crying. Nothing hurts on that little baby. Amen. She's hungry. He's hungry. They want. Everything is confusion. They used to be in the womb. Now they're out of the womb. They used to have fluid in their lungs. Now they're breathing air. It's confusion. What's going on here? They start screaming and crying. Why? Because they're confused. And it never stops the rest of their life. Amen. Confusion.
Amen.
Amen. Confusion. But here's what happens. When confusion is there, the only hope is for a movement of the Holy Spirit to change things. Life without Christ is confusion. And then the Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon the face. Not inside, but on the outside. This is where conviction sets in. This is where a sinner who's living a confused life, who has no idea up from down, in from out, left from right, they're confused about everything. They think good is evil and evil is good. And the Spirit of God begins to move. Somebody begins to pray for them. Somebody begins to witness to them. Somebody begins to preach the gospel to them. And the Spirit of God begins to move. Not in their heart yet, because He's not in there yet. He's moving on the outside. He's showing them their evil heart. He's telling them how ungodly their works are. He's telling how unrighteous and how filled with iniquity their lives are. And how they have no hope of ever doing anything but dying and perishing in an everlasting lake of fire. That's confusion, but then the Holy Spirit begins to move. The Holy Spirit begins to convict. Hey, listen, your life's confusion. Your marriage, your home, your family, your job, your mind, your heart, it's all confusion. And then the Spirit of God begins to convict you, begins to move. Amen. And then God said, let there be light. Then that conviction is accepted. That conviction is received. And then I understand I have no hope. I turn to God Almighty. And then there's conversion. Then there's conversion.
Amen.
And listen, see, where there was nothing but darkness and confusion, now there's light.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen. Why? Listen, don't miss this. Because God said.
That's right.
Because God, you didn't earn it. I'm going to say it again. You didn't earn it. God had to say, let there be light in Elizabeth.
Amen.
Let there be light in Ingrid.
Amen.
Let there be light in Brother Worcester.
Amen.
There is light in there, right?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
But God had to say it.
That's right.
That's right.
See, the Spirit of God, you know, the Spirit of God can move on you and around you and convict you for years. But that's not salvation.
That's right. That's right.
You can feel guilty. You can pray for God to forgive you. All, but listen, until God says, let there be light, there's no light. There's confusion, then there's conviction, and then there's conversion. You see, the whole problem with many of these so-called believers is they're trying to do good works without the Holy Spirit, without salvation. They're not even saved. Because when God says, let there be light, that's a picture. All the way back in Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning, there's the gospel. God said, there's going to be light. If there's no light, there's no hope, there's no salvation. And we got a lot of people in confused minds, confused hearts, darkness. I mean, despair. But yet they're trying to do good works. And God says, there's no light. None of that counts. None of that is ever going to be good in my eyes.
Amen.
It all starts with the Holy Spirit, folks.
Yes, sir.
See, God's Spirit in me He has to be in me, not just moving on the face of the waters, not just making me feel bad. But he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Dearly beloved, neither do they have light.
Yeah.
And you can't let something shine that's not there.
Yeah. Amen.
There's a lot of people today who are so utterly confused, so utterly frustrated. They're trying to do these good works, but there's no salvation. There's no conversion. See, think about this. Light out of darkness is a total conversion.
Right.
It's a total change.
Mm-hmm.
Can you understand there can't be both?
Mm-hmm.
They can't coexist. You say, well, wait a minute. There's some light that shines brighter than others. That's all that is. That doesn't mean if you remove every bit of light from this room, you have utter darkness.
Yeah.
If you bring in one match, then you have light.
Amen.
You can't have both.
Amen.
That's right.
You're either saved or you're condemned to hell.
Amen.
You can't be both.
Amen.
You can't be both. You can't be halfway saved. How many times have you talked to people and witnessed to people and try to get and say, have you been saved? I'm working on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
You're what? Mm-hmm. You're working on what?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I've heard this too. Well, I'm in the process.
Yeah.
In the process of what?
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about building the house here. We're talking about either saved or unsaved. You either have the Son or you don't.
That's right.
Amen.
See, and then God has to give you light. God has to, by His Word, say, let there be, okay, I see that confusion. I see that conviction. I see Him turning His heart to me in repentance. And then, let there be light. And that's exactly what happened to me on May 13th, 2004,
amen,
at 3551 Cindy Drive. Amen. I was given light.
Amen.
From before that day, dear beloved, anything I did was not good in God's eyes.
Amen.
It all starts with the Holy Spirit. There has to be a salvation born again time in your life. You have to, listen, you're not going to come out of darkness into light and say, huh, nothing changed. Well, I don't remember when that happened. What are you talking about? You don't remember when that happened? You're still in darkness or you're in light. Don't tell me you don't remember when that happened. Don't tell me where you didn't. Listen, everybody knows where they were on 9/11/2001. I was in Omaha, Nebraska. I was working for a company called Scantron Service Group, and I was up there for training, and I had to drive all the way back from Omaha, Nebraska in this little bitty Chevy S10 pickup truck because no flights were flying that day, for like a week, no flights. My family was down here, and I was up there, and here I see airplanes flying to towers and two towers and burning up, and I think the world's coming to an end. Oh, my goodness. I remember exactly where I was.
Amen.
And you're going to tell me you don't remember when you got saved?
Oh,
amen.
You didn't come out of darkness. You didn't come out of darkness into light. You're going to remember that.
That's right. Amen.
That's why we have so little light. Because we have people trying to do good works, trying to do right, and they're not even saved.
Amen.
See, goodness, light, starts with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And then it's established by God's Word. God said, let there be light. Everything about it comes from God's Word. I read you that scripture in Philippians 2.
Amen.
I'm holding forth the Word of life.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
See, my good works and my light don't come from me.
That's right.
And my, you know, my wonderful intellect.
Amen.
And my charm. That's a bunch of flesh.
Oh.
It comes from and is established and is strengthened and is based on every bit of it, this book.
Amen. Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
So if I'm doing something contrary to this book, just because somebody else wants me to, that's not good works.
Amen.
If I'm doing what I want to do because somebody else doesn't like that verse, so I'm going to do what I want, or I don't like that verse, well, it's plain as day. It's plain as day, but I don't like it. I don't think it means that, so I'm going to do what my... That's darkness.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right, brother.
You can't glorify God when you go outside of His book. You can't glorify God. Nobody's going to glorify God. Nobody's going to see. God's not ever going to call it good. He saw the light and He said, let there be light, and there was light. And He saw the light and it was what? Good. This is the light. I'm going to hold forth the word of life. I'm going to do what God says. See, my light, what's good in God's eyes, is always going to be based on and established by this book. It's going to be defined by this book. If it's not in here, it's not good. If it is in here, we should obey it. Otherwise, we're not doing good. We're not shining light. We're not glorifying God. This book is the standard.
Amen.
God said, God's word is the standard.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It doesn't matter what I think. It's what God says.
Yeah.
Or else it's not good.
Amen.
It's not good.
Free.
Why would anybody glorify God when they saw you disobeying God?
Not all.
Why somebody going to say, oh, look, there's a good Christian boy. I'm going to glorify God when they see you living like they are.
Yeah.
You see? We've got a whole bunch of problems. We've got a whole bunch of people that aren't saved. A whole bunch of people who may be saved, but yet they're still not doing anything according to the Bible.
That's right.
And God says, that's not good.
Amen.
That's not light. That's not what I'm talking about. You see, again, we have thoroughly and completely twisted and misunderstood this passage of Scripture. God said, let there be light. And then He said, that's God's word. And then He said, quickly, I'm done. I want you to understand, if it's good in God's eyes, it starts with the Holy Spirit. It's established by God's word. Salvation, and then listen now. Verse 4, God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Understand something. It starts with the Holy Spirit. It's established by God's word, and it has to be separated from darkness.
Amen.
What do you mean, preacher? I mean, you can't live in the darkness, walk in the darkness, act and behave yourself and remain in the darkness. You understand something? After I get saved, I still have the old flesh in me.
Yeah.
God divided that junk when He said, let there be light, and He said, He divided it. God, in the fourth verse of the Bible, is teaching us separation.
Yeah.
In the fourth verse of the Bible, God's teaching us, hey, you're not supposed to be in darkness anymore. You're light.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen.
But you know, you have the option as a saved, born again believer to wander back in the darkness.
Sure.
It'd be like Jesus on the third day being resurrected, coming out of that tomb, amen. Glory to God, He's out of that tomb. You say, well, you know what? I kind of liked it in there. It was more comfortable in there, going back in the darkness, laying back down in the grave. You say, well, that's crazy. I would never do that. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 6. We're to walk with Him in newness of light.
Amen, brother. That's right.
Newness of life.
Yes, sir.
We got a lot of people going back into the tomb.
Yeah,
preach it. What you do when you're back in the tomb? You do what everybody else in the tomb does.
Yep.
Oh, you can be kind. You can be nice. But you're living in darkness. Your life is nothing but darkness. So I'm saved. I don't care. You're not separated.
Amen.
See, when you separate yourself from darkness, you're going to live as light.
Amen.
In the light. Right. Walk in the light.
Yes, sir.
You're going to act.
Yes, sir.
See, darkness is going to notice, they're not like me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And until you decide you're going to separate yourself from those friends and that music you listen to and that junk you're watching on television and those movies, see, all of that is darkness. Until you separate yourself from it, your works are not going to be good. Your light's not shining. And nothing happened in your life except more darkness. See, God said it, not me. God said, I let there be light. Now let that darkness and that light be separated. See, it starts with the Holy Spirit. A lot of people aren't even saved. But if you are saved, you're going to have to establish and do everything based on the standard of God's Word. And you're going to have to be separated from the darkness. See, this is, by the way, remember what we're talking about? God's definition of good works. Let me just Close with this, verse 5. Excuse me, verse 4. God saw the light, that it was good. I want you to notice something. If this was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Yep.
That's right.
What do you mean, preacher? I mean, if it was easy to shine His light in a dark world, everybody would be doing it. Every saved believer would be out there shining their light. But dearly beloved, there's about as many as you can count on two hands.
Yep.
In this church. In this church. That are living like I just described.
That's right.
Maybe. Sometimes. Two hands, yeah. Maybe three. But dearly beloved, in a world full of darkness.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I know it's going to get quiet.
Wow.
It needs to get quiet. You need to get your heart right.
Yes, sir.
Because the more lights are shining, the more God's going to be glorified. But see, if this were easy, everybody would be doing it.
Yeah.
But let me close with this thought. God saw the light.
Yes, sir.
What do you mean, preacher? God sees it.
Amen.
You know, we cannot do what we do for men to see it.
Yeah.
Right.
For men to say, oh, wow, what a hero. We cannot do what we do so we can feel good.
Amen.
We've got to do what God says is good,
yes, sir.
Is light, and they're going to persecute you, they're going to revile you, but listen, they're going to also, they're going to know, hey,
oh, yeah.
Man,
amen.
He takes God seriously.
Amen.
And you're going to say, well, man, Lord, nobody cares. Nobody's getting saved. Nobody seems to be doing anything. Nobody's following. And let's understand something. God sees it.
Yes, amen.
God sees it.
Amen.
God sees it.
Amen.
So, God says it's good, preacher.
Amen.
God says it's light. But the darkness doesn't seem to like it. Hello! Of course they don't like it!
Amen.
If they do, you're probably not light.
That's right.
Yeah,
but God sees it.
Amen.
God sees it. There's a light shining down there.
Amen.
And I see that light. And He's keeping records. Perfect, accurate records.
Sir.
He says, let your light so shine.
Yep.
I see it.
Amen.
I'll see it.
Yeah.
I know it. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning we come to You with humble hearts, knowing, God, that we need more light in this world. Knowing, Lord God, that those of us who are saved need to get our hearts right. Need to get our lives established on this book. Need to get out of the darkness and let our light so shine. Heavenly Father, this morning You've been good to us, Lord. You've spoken to our hearts. Well, You desire that we shine. We're the only hope for a dark world. Bless this invitation, Lord. I pray if there be some here, one or more, that are not truly saved. They're trusting something they did. God, break their hearts. May Your Spirit move in a powerful way. Convict them of sin and unrighteousness, eternal damnation, and turn them to Jesus, Lord. Let them see the light that they can have, the salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, Your people that are saved that are here, Lord God, break our hearts. Father, we're too busy trying to make everybody happy. We're too busy trying to make everybody comfortable. Light does not make darkness comfortable. Lord God, living by this book does not make people love us. But Lord, it makes them see a difference. Oh God, please, bless Your word. Bless this message. Bless Your people. Bless this time of invitation. We need you, Lord. Oh, God, please. We need you to give us your favor, your power. Rain down the conviction on all of our hearts, Father, today. Move us out of that darkness. Move us, Lord God. Change us today. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Say, preacher, I know I'm saved this morning. I remember the time that I came out of darkness into light. I remember that. I may not remember the date, but I know the time. I know when it happened. It's not something you were working on. It's not a process. I remember the day that God saved me and delivered me out of that darkness. Would you raise your hand and say, preacher, I know I'm saved. No doubt about it in my heart. Thank you, thank you. You can put them down. This morning, say, preacher, I know I'm saved. But yet, I'm not living in light. I'm not separated. I'm not living my life based on the Word of God. I'm not doing what God says. I'm not doing what I know is right. Preacher, pray for me. The Lord spoke to my heart. Would you raise your hand and be honest with God? Preacher, pray for me. The Lord spoke to my heart about some light. Thank you. Thank you. There are others here. If you won't even raise your hand, don't expect God to help you. Listen, I just want to pray for you this morning. So the Lord spoke to me, preacher. I need to do things according to the Bible. I need to live my life according to light, not darkness. Would there be more here? Be honest with God. Say, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me this morning. Oh, Lord, there's so much pride in our hearts. Father, Lord, we won't even raise our hands, God. How can we expect you to help us? God, convict our souls. Lord, we're so far in the darkness we don't even hear your voice. Father, we're so far away from the Bible we don't even hear your voice. Thank you for these humble ones, Lord God, who raised their hand. Lord God, I raise my hand. I honestly admit to you, Lord God, that there needs to be more light shining forth from my life. Lord, I pray for your people. God, I don't know what it's going to take to get Christians to start living like Christians again. I don't know what it's going to take, Father, for your people to realize the only light, the only hope they had was because you gave them light. And Father, now to let it shine. Shine forth. Bless the invitation, Lord. I've done what I can do. God, you're going to have to do the rest. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's all stand together this morning. The music plays softly. The altars are open. If you need to be saved this morning, now's the time. Come to this old altar. I'm not going to drag you. God's not going to drag you. If you need to get right with God, come to this altar this morning. Don't tell me that your light is shining as bright as it needs to be. Mine's not. And the Lord spoke to my heart. I know He has. Let's be honest with God this morning. This world is dark. How are they going to make a difference? How are we going to make a difference if we're not shining? What good are we if we just continue to walk in darkness, live in darkness, and do what we want to do and just cast away the Bible? And who cares what God says? I'm going to do it my way. That's darkness. That's not good. That's not good, dearly beloved. This morning, why don't you come? Just come humble yourself at an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I need your help. I need to be light. I need to get back to the Bible. I need to get back to living in light again. I surrender my life to you, Lord. I'm giving it to you. God spoke to you this morning because He loves you. If you need to be saved this morning, listen, now is the best time in the world. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't even know if we're going to be alive tomorrow, dear beloved. If you're not saved this morning, come to Christ. You remember the day that God lit your candle? That God said, let there be light. Listen, only God can do that. This morning as she plays, if God spoke to your heart, be honest. How far in the darkness are you going to wander? Listen, you can't be comfortable there. If you're comfortable in the darkness, dear beloved, you're not saved. If you're comfortable in the darkness, you're not saved. God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. If you're saved, you're not comfortable in the darkness. Get out of the darkness, dear beloved. Come back to the light. Live for the Lord. Honor God. Do good works that God says, I see that. I see that. As she plays.